You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlow FM.
Julia, first of all, good morning and welcome to Marlow FM.
Oh, good morning, Chris. Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here in your studio above the library. It's wonderful.
It's a temporary studio. I do hope that by the next time you come to see us, we'll be in our permanent studio.
In your new one. Yeah, that'll be really splendid.
I think I said that to you last time you were here. I said next time you'll be...
I think maybe you did.
I said next time you come here, we'll be on our permanent location. But that hasn't happened yet. But
no, OK.
It will be happening soon, I'm sure.
Well, this is also... So great. It's lovely. Well, thank you very much. Yes, my situation, I'll just explain to all your listeners, first of all, that I have now pretty much profound hearing loss. I have no hearing in one ear. I have about 30% in the other ear. And I've lost my hearing over a period of about 2.5 decades. And it is obviously I'm now registered with a disability. I also do have, linked to my hearing loss, vestibular disorder, which means I have considerable balance issues, and also suffer from tinnitus, which is a bit ironic because people say to me sometimes, oh, well, you must have silence because you have no hearing. I said, well, actually, I don't, because I have tinnitus very badly in one ear. So quite complex. I as a peer support worker and volunteer for Hearing Link, and I actually came to Hearing Link services based at the Grange from having my son got me he sponsored a hearing dog, and I started to learn about them. And over the last few years, I've found my volunteering for Hearing Link has not only given me a new community of people to work with and who understand fully where I am, but it's given me the chance to help other people as well. So, our charity has an incredible ethos. I scribbled it down, actually, this morning, because I think it's so powerful, because the charity Hearing Link and Hearing Dogs, they basically say, we want to see a day when no deaf person or anyone with hearing loss feels alone. And that's very much how I feel, because I have my hand held by people who understand why I have the difficulties I do.
And Hearing Link as a charity has been going for how long?
I don't know. I mean, we were two separate charities and they merged with Hearing Dogs before my time, actually. So, but the two now work together and support each other. So obviously people will probably in this area know a lot about Hearing Dogs, because obviously at the Grange, at Prince's Risborough, they train the dogs there. Hearing Link also, we go there, and I've done some link up days and link up weekends there. So yes, it's quite a, you know, obviously it's a national, both national charities, but now they're linked together. So yeah, I can't give you exact dates. They'll be on the website somewhere.
So if people are listening and they want to actually find out about Hearing Link right now, what is the website for Hearing Link?
The Hearing Link website, if you just do a Google or hearinglink.org, then you can get into Hearing Link, and there's a menu and that you can go through. It's a very clearly well-pathed website with lots of different areas that you'll be able to find help. I mean, one of the things that I do, for example, I volunteer for help desk, so people who have questions or queries, all sorts of things. It can be about equipment, it can be about emotional support, can come to Hearing Link at the desk, help desk. There's many other avenues as well that you can look up on the website. So, and individuals who will help you, both from the staff and from volunteers. The other thing, I'll plug it now, shall I, Chris?
Go for it, Julia.
Can I go for it? Okay. Yeah. One of the things that I've been very involved with a group of us is to develop what we call helpful hours. And we have a helpful hour up and running, which is to help you when you go for an audiology appointment, and things that you can do in order to prepare yourself, understand what an audiology appointment is about, understand your audiogram. And again, in fact, I'm doing one tomorrow. We do it on a webinar. So, and on our helpful, on the website, there are areas where you can book in, and they're all free. All you have to do is come along on your computer and it will come on for you, and then you can just sit and listen for about 3/4 of an hour to the ways that we have patterned that help you understand going to an audiology appointment. I think the one thing about audiology appointments, over the years I have been to many, both privately and NHS, and I think having an understanding, if you are going for the first time, for example, you know, it can be quite an anxious time, and also it's the time is short when you're in an audiology appointment, so to get a little bit of structure as to what you need is really, really good idea, I think. Well, I know it is. I mean, I try and do it myself, so yeah, so that's good.
And that's fascinating and very good advice as well, because we have some very good audiologists in Marlow as well, including Help in Hearing, that I know is a company that you've met and worked with as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I think from the audiologist's point of view as well, it's really helpful if their patients come along with ideas of what it is, not being too prescriptive, because obviously the audiologist will be giving their professional opinion, but getting an idea of where, for example, your hearing loss is the most difficult. It might be that, you know, socially you find it difficult, or at home, or the television, or the telephone. I mean, the telephone is a really difficult thing for people who have hearing loss, but advice is out there. And again, for the television, I mean, my husband is sitting here in the studio. He's fully hearing, and we have lots of gadgets now. He's my tech man, by the way. I don't do tech. I have a lot of tech, but I don't understand it all. How those can help you. I have a special microphone that goes into my hearing aid, and various different things. So again, I think, you know, if you can be prepared and know where it is that you can find help and explain to the audiologist, because that will then mean that they can work more with you.
That's very, very good advice, Julia. We have got Julia Cruz in the studio with us today, talking about all matters relating to hearing, particularly hearing loss, hearing difficulties and so on. And we've had an email in from Eleanor in Bourne End. Eleanor, good morning. Thank you so much for listening. You've asked about hearing dogs. I think Julia mentioned that during her last few minutes. I think we're going to cover that a little later on in the show. So if you carry on listening, Eleanor, in maybe 20 minutes or so, we'll come back to hearing dogs. But thank you so much for your interest, and thank you for your question. But one of the things we wanted to talk about specifically today, and you might have noticed this if you've seen the promotion for today's show on our website, I want to talk about balance. Hearing, of course, is a great deal to do with balance. Maybe the first question really is do people with hearing loss have also struggles with balance?
Yes.
I think there are some people do have, I think, significant issues with balance, and also perceptions of sound. I think sometimes the two do go together. For example, I have no hearing in one ear, which means that all sound coming from the right-hand side, I don't hear. And so that can make it complicated. For example, when you're crossing a road or you're out in public and someone comes up beside you, or they come to my right side and I don't hear them. It was case in point yesterday. I do pottery once a week, and one of the reasons that I do that, and this is sort of of jumping different into different spheres is because I have tinnitus, and I find that, you know, stress and the levels of anxiety can actually increase my tinnitus. But I find doing pottery and finding other activities, this is a really important point actually, if you can find things that help you relax, swimming, something like that. But I do pottery, so I muck about with clay, and that does help me. And I was standing by where the glazing table to do some glazing of pots, and a lady obviously beside me, she wanted to do something, and I'd never heard her speaking. So I turned around, and there she was. And I said to her, she just tapped me on the shoulder, as I don't hear. So obviously there's that side of it that you don't necessarily understand where sounds are coming from. The other side is certainly, I think, balance is an issue. And it is when you, say, go along to an audiologist and they talk about your hearing loss. If you do have balance problems, I think it's really vital that you explain and explore that with them, because, again, they may be able to help you and give you advice. Over the years, because my balance is very poor, I have come to realise that actually it is a question of retraining my brain. And brain plasticity and getting your brain to understand different things is very, very vital and important, and especially if you are wearing and continue to wear your hearing aids and devices. So balance, I think, if you can understand what the issues are with your balance, the less you do, the less you can do. Chris is nodding at me from the other side of the studio here. And I think it is absolutely very true. That's not to force yourself out and do more than you can achieve, but to try and be as positive as possible. So for balance, for example, I go to a gym. I am no gym bunny, I can assure you. But I do find, say, stepping up to things, doing weights, bending down, standing up, all of these things help to establish a pattern and make your balance easier to cope with. Whereas if you just sit still and you don't go out and challenge your balance a little bit, there are sites which do have, the vestibular disorder site, for example, has information on it, and it's something you can explore with the professionals to get physiotherapy to help you. I've just also invested in a bright pink cover to go over my coat when I'm walking, because when I'm out walking or marching up and down a hill, obviously cars and other people don't know that they come up behind me and I can't hear them. So just those little things, but getting out in the fresh air, if it's just that, and walking around the roads as opposed to staying at home, I think helps the balance. I don't know, what do you think, Chris? Does it, getting out there and doing some exercise is a good plan?
Well, I'm another tinnitus person like you, and I think being involved, being active, is very, very important, because with tinnitus, there's a temptation to withdraw. Temptation to withdraw from society, from not going out to social events with friends, because, oh, I won't be able to hear everything, I'm going to miss so much, and it's going to be boring, everyone else is going to laugh at jokes and I won't hear them, which does happen sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, and I think we do know from many reports that isolation and mental health goes alongside having hearing loss, and it can make a huge difference. And as you say, withdrawing from social activities and just reducing down what you do, I think can be very detrimental to other aspects of your health, not just if you have hearing loss or balance difficulties. So getting out there is, you know, if you can, and have a hearing buddy with you. That's something else that, again, when we do our helpful hour, we talk about having a hearing buddy, someone who can. I mean, I bring my husband along. He's very good. My grandchildren are now being trained as well to be hearing buddies, and they understand when I don't always hear things, and they know. And that's the other thing. Be upfront about it. If you have hearing loss, just be honest and say, I'm really sorry, but I can't hear you, and I need you to speak more clearly or speak at me. Don't talk at the back of my head. That's not going to do any good because I lip read quite a lot. So, yeah, lots of different little tips, really.
Absolutely. I certainly found with my tinnitus that the COVID period where people were wearing masks was quite an irritation because I hadn't realised quite how much of the time I spend lip reading. Mm. And of course, when other people are wearing masks, you can't see what they're saying. Yeah. And that's a phrase I use, actually. Sorry, say that again. I can't see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And people begin to think that's strange, but when they know me, they understand exactly why I'm asking that question and making that particular request.
Well, I think it's true, actually, of everybody that... if you are, even if you're not hearing impaired, I suspect most people in a noisy environment actually do really relate to looking at facial expressions and getting, and then you pick up the tips, don't you? You pick up the signals. So I think, yes, for someone who's, I mean, I do a lip reading class once a week, and the things that I'm learning on that are and what sounds you can hear or not hear, and also how you pick up the signals of what the subject is about so that you can follow it and you don't answer the wrong question or the wrong answer to the right question, whatever.
Let's go back to the question of balance that we started off with. Do people with hearing aids have better balance than they had when they didn't have hearing aids? So in other words, if a balance disorder is one of the side effects of their hearing loss, do they find once they've bought or acquired hearing aids that their balance improves as well as their ability to hear certain frequencies?
That's probably a question that needs to go to someone who has much better understanding of the how the ear functions. But I suspect so. Yes, I mean, okay, from my perspective, once I have my hearing devices, when I'm wearing the hearing device and I have adjusted to it, and this is important, and maybe this is part of the answer to that. If you need to take time in order to adjust to different hearing devices, and I'll give you an example. I mean, I have one that I've had for about 14 months now, and so therefore it's my sort of go-to hearing device, and I find that I work very well with that one. And yes, I think it does help my balance because it helps me associate with things in the world around me more easily. So therefore, that is part of balance. But I have had a new hearing aid from the NHS a week ago, which has just a microphone in my dead ear, my non-working ear, and it takes the sounds and puts them into my hearing ear. It's really, really strange. And I know I have just got to practice with it. And what one of the pieces of advice that we do give people, and it is really important, if you've been prescribed a hearing aid, they're not going to do you any good in the drawer or the box, and it takes your brain a while to get used to it, and then you may find that actually that will help balance, and it does help tinnitus as well because you're obviously having other sounds coming in. So yeah, I mean, I think it can help. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to work hard to get my new hearing aid and my brain in gear on that. But the brain does associate and eventually learns new patterns. So don't give up on it. Keep going. That should give you, more help, I think, definitely.
That's brilliant. It's a fascinating advice, and luckily I don't think I have any balance problems arising from my tinnitus, but it's good to know that there are tips and techniques out there that can help.
Yeah.
And I've just been looking at the Hearing Link Services website, by the way, and just looking under balance, there's a whole slew of articles about it, including some balance disorder exercises that you can do. So very, very simple exercises, but again, that harks back to your earlier comment and the fact that, I mean, you don't look yourself away, get out there and do stuff.
Yes.
And doing stuff, anything that interests you, get to it, and anything that's going to be good for you, like balance disorder exercises to improve your capability with balance and proprioception and so on, that's really worth doing.
Yeah, and it it gives you a confidence as well if you can achieve a few small things. I mean, you know, for example, going swimming. I mean, again, you know, that can be tricky because you have to take your hearing aids out. But once you're in the water, you can relax, you can get sort of do some movement in that and you're secure. So that's, I think, a very, very worthwhile doing. But yeah, and not losing your confidence. I think hearing loss does take away your confidence.
Yeah.
And trying to build that back up, which is again why explaining and exploring with people out, you know, in your family or in your circle of friends, then, and once they understand, then that, I think, does give you, you know, can help you give a little bit more confidence back.
Yeah, definitely a big Bee Gees fan, and ABBA and all those things. Yes, part of my youth.
I think we'll have ABBA coming up for you next, I think.
Oh, excellent.
Let's get back to Eleanor's question. Eleanor, it wasn't a very specific question. She just says, can we hear more about the hearing dogs?
Yes, certainly. As I say, I mean, I work with Hearing Link Services, but obviously, you know, we are very closely affiliated with the hearing dogs. And I think the important thing with to think about hearing dogs is that they are like for an assistance dog. And it's a growing understanding, just to sort of divert slightly, it's a growing understanding now that assistance dogs in all sorts of areas, obviously guide dogs we understand for the blind, but a hearing dog, for example, for someone who is profoundly deaf, means that they have the opportunity in their home, for example, for a dog will be able to hear the doorbell, a fire alarm, an alarm in the morning to wake someone up, hear the telephone, or for one of the things as well, think about a young mother who's deaf and a baby crying, a hearing dog would be able to hear that and take the person in their home to where the sound was coming from. But it's very important, I think, that outside in the wider world now, we are beginning to appreciate that an assistant dog going into places can again give confidence but security but also assistance in very different levels. Now the hearing dogs themselves the little puppies. If you go to the Hearing Dogs website, which is hearingdogs.org.uk, and there is a very good page which talks about training the puppies. So for anyone who really wants to look into this, then do have a look on that, because it gives a real insight into how the puppies are trained, and it takes from about 8 weeks of age to about 16 months old, the puppies stay with, say, a volunteer puppy trainer. And then they gradually move through the tracing process, and then they pass different stages, and then they can be placed. Now, some dogs continue to work with, say, someone who is profoundly deaf and needs all the full ability of a hearing dog, i.e. that they can pick up on sounds and all sorts. Some dogs are more like companion dogs. And again, this actually adds into giving someone confidence. And I've got a friend who's just actually got her first companion dog. And it makes a huge difference, because when she goes out and about, she feels much more secure having the dog with her. So it's, you know, it is that whole, I think, a dog giving you the confidence, but also the knowledge that, say, as an example, in the home, they can hear different sounds that someone might not hear. I can't remember the name of the young girl, but we had one of our hearing dogs at Crufts this year. People may have seen that. It was definitely on the television. And it's a very important point to make, that we tend to think of hearing loss with as part of for older people, but of course actually it is across the whole age groups. And for young people who may have struggle with isolation with their peers, and we have placed hearing dogs with young people, and it has actually transformed their lives and how they cope with their hearing loss. So, yeah.
So how does a hearing loss dog work in practice? So if the dog hears a sound, the dog has been trained to know to tell the owner, the deaf person, does the dog visibly move to attract the attention? Because obviously the dog barks.
Absolutely. I mean, when I watched a display at the Grange recently, it was one of our community hearing days, and it was fascinating. Do keep your eyes out for those to be able to go along and have a look at what works as well. And it's intriguing because the dog is trained and to come up and nudge. I'm nudging my leg.
Nudge,
I know
right,
you can't see that. So the dog comes up and nudges the person and then takes the person to where the sound is. So, for example, if it's the doorbell, they'll nudge the person and their owner, and the dog will then take them to the door. If it's something that is more serious, say like a smoke alarm, the dog will nudge as well, but what they tend to do is they then lie down. And another one is that they take the, if someone's asleep in bed and something is, you know, there's an alarm or a concern, then the hearing dog will go up and will nudge, but will also take the bedding off the bed to alert the person. So different ways of alerting someone. So yes, and obviously dogs work, you know, that they're very carefully placed with people so that the dog will work with that person and that relationship builds. So yes, I mean, to get all the information on how they work, you really need to go into the website or contact someone from hearing dogs themselves. The other thing is obviously that's important, and I do it, say, for my grandchildren. I sponsor three puppies, and it means that you get information all the way through their period of training and when they get certificates, and you learn about how well they've done. And I think it gives it's given my grandchildren an interest into what happens. It's the same for guide dogs, they do that as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating subject. Do you know, is there one type of dog that is more particularly suited for this? Is there one breed of dog that is more suited to becoming a hearing dog than others? When you think of guide dogs for the blind, you tend to think of Labradors and maybe Alsatians and so on. But do you know, or it's a tough question unless you've had much experience.
And in fact, it's very interesting because obviously we have dogs that are used to have puppies. I think they only have two litters. One of the colleagues that I've worked with, he has his dogs just recently had her last little litter, and she's a spaniel. And obviously, for some people, a smaller dog is better to be able to, you know, manage and keep. But they seem to be across the board. I think with guide dogs, they tend to be more like Labradors and slightly larger dogs.
Yeah.
And with the hearing dogs, the ones I've seen recently, I mean, it seems to be spaniels, cockapoodles, things like that. Obviously, that level of high intelligence and ability to learn. So,
yeah.
Yes, there is a different, a widespread, I would say.
Excellent. Well, Eleanor, I hope that Julie has answered your question. You didn't have a specific question, you just asked to be told more about it. So I think Julie's done that tremendously well. And maybe, Julie, you could just give the website of Hearing Dogs again, so that in case Eleanor wants to get back.
If you look up... Oh, my phone's just gone funny. If you look up Hearing Dogs, hearingdogs.org.uk is the one to look for. And that will give you the information. If you then look, scan through it, and there's the site which says how do we train our puppies, and that leads you on to all sorts of things about the dogs. And likewise, if you want to look up Hearing Link, that is also quite a useful one to see, and you can go in through various channels on that. So Hearing Dogs for Deaf People, it will come up.
Brilliant. So you specifically do work for the charity called Hearing Link, and I've just been looking at your website as well, the Hearing Link website, which is very, very extensive. Just about any question anybody would have about hearing is answered on that site. Do you actually contribute to the development of the site yourself?
Yeah, I mean, we do. We cover everything that I think you need and you would need to know. Or if you have something very specific, as I say, I think the help desk is a particularly valuable asset. And you can go into that and you can send an email to the help desk or speak to one of the people on the help desk. And we get questions, as I say, across the board. And it may seem to you not a very important question, but if you're worried about it, ask it. Always ask. I think that, again, that's something that I have learned over the years, that if there's something that is, you know, concerning me, for example, on my hearing aids, or why my hearing feels different, or when I'm not coping so well, I'll give you an example. I find sometimes in bright sunlight, now that sounds very strange, but this is to do my balance, actually, I find then that my hearing feels disturbed. But it's not really my hearing that's disturbed, it's because my balance is slightly out of kilter. But a question like that, when I talk to someone about it, you know, can be explained. So again, coming back to the Hearing Link services, always ask questions. And the help desk, we have chat facilities, and yeah, so information out there. And quite seriously, do look up our helpful hours on audiology, because that covers a whole spectrum of information, including how to interpret your audiogram.
Right.
Can I just give a plug for my favourite bit of tech?
You absolutely can.
Right. Okay. So I get very enthusiastic about what I call the banana diagram. And the banana diagram gives you a whole range of where you can hear sounds in your, you know, in your own hearing ability. And it gives you a great visual look of it. And I find it is very useful. I found it very handy to explain to my family and to my grandchildren that Granny can't hear a whistle of a bird or a leaf dropping, because where the line of her hearing is down on the hearing banana. So it's little things like that, you know, just so that you can explain to your family and they will appreciate that actually, you know, you're not just being difficult.
Excellent. Julia, I have to say, thank you so much for being my guest today. You've been a fascinating guest. Maybe I can also give my plug for my favourite bit of technology as well, which is headphones that are bone conducting headphones. For headphones we wear that don't actually go into the earpieces, they vibrate just in front of the ear aperture onto the bone in front, and they're fantastic because I can wear those, listen to music all day long, but I'm not feeling closed in. Too often with headphones, you feel that you're locked in and you're in your own internal world, which is the last thing you want to be if you have tinnitus like me. That's my advert for my favourite bit of technology.
Yeah.
And if anybody's interested in it, they're called Shocks, Shokz, and you can look them up online. Julia, thank you once again for being my guest today.
You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlow FM.